Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but Eat and Like with Jesse Blanco. You can find that Sundays, 12:30 p.m. on WJCL. And as of this week, we begin, Maggie, season number 15 of Eat It and Like
It. Wow.
In this market.
15.
Pretty wild, huh?
Has some significance to it. It's an even, or rather odd, year.
Yeah. It's 15 seasons in actually only 14 years. The reason is very simple. When we started this, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Happy Labor Day.
Yes, absolutely. The reason why it was it's 15 seasons in 14 years is because when we started this in it was September 24, 2010, I believe it was. We aired on Saturday mornings on WJCL, where I was a news anchor at the time. And we put together, the plan was 9 episodes through that fall. And then we would take a break and regroup and then try to make some money on it and build our production value and all that stuff. Well, it was such an instant hit. I had people stopping me on the street within the first 10 days. Little old ladies at Kroger, what are you going to be cooking this weekend? And it was clear that we had caught lightning in a bottle. So as the momentum that fall started building and we were getting feedback from everywhere, oh man, it's great. It looks like Food Network. I thought it was Food Network, but then I realized it was Jesse and it was local. We realized that once we did our, what was supposed to be the season wrap episode in December of that year, we knew that it would have been incredibly foolish to wait 8 months to put new shows on TV again. So
you had built so much momentum, you had to keep it going.
Yeah. So we took a month off, essentially the holidays in January, and in February, we got right back to it. And that's why that was the first season. We did essentially two seasons, in less than 7 months. And it was that second season where everything changed. The newspaper called and asked me to start writing for them. We had been nominated for an Emmy Award. And Paula Deen had appeared on our show. We went to her house and had a lovely conversation and we made a watermelon feta salad back then. And so, So anyway, that was a long time ago. And if I've said this to anybody who would listen, if you had told me 14 years ago that I'd still be doing this and enjoying the modest success that we are enjoying here in this market 15 years later, I'd have been like, man, you're crazy. But here we
are.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. So how's your weekend been?
It's been good. Like I've done a lot of walking on the beach and exercising and just, you know, spending time with friends. I went to an amazing concert at my beloved Seaglass stage at Coligny, where, you know, I'm a member of the board. Right. We hosted the band Falderall, which is a local jazz band. We hosted them for a show that they have been preparing for months, and it was a sold-out crowd. It was nothing short of amazing. It was just fabulous that we have all this talent right here on our little island. And my friend Candace Ray is the lead singer and part creator of the band, along with Davey Masteller of his parents, of course, the Jazz Corner fame. So.
Very good.
Yes, you'll be hearing more about them in the future, and everybody needs to be on the lookout for them because they are the real deal.
Hmm. Interesting. And that's also at Coligny Theater, right?
Well, they play all over. They had a concert in the park presented by the Hilton Head Symphony Orchestra that was supposed to be, remember when we had that hurricane blow through?
Yeah.
Or a tropical storm, whatever it was, had to be rescheduled. And so they had done that earlier last week. And then, of course, we hosted them at Seaglass Stage at Coligny. And October 20th, they're going to be at the Jazz Corner. And only because Candace had texted me and said, hey, tickets are on sale, go get them right now. I was able to snag the last table for the 6:30 showing. And I'm not sure if they have any other tickets left. The Jazz Corner usually sells out within, you know, hours of tickets going on sale. So, but you'll be seeing them scattered around. Hopefully we'll host them at our venue more times as well.
Well, as you know, I look forward to that. Hopefully we can make it work. I've shared with you, over the years that, that I don't completely avoid it, but excuse me one second. I don't completely avoid it, but I tend to not participate on the island during the summer. But once Labor Day, I call it Jesse season, because right after Labor Day, which is as we record this today, I will be on the island quite a bit. I always am. Every single year, easily half of my time, September, October, is spent on Hilton Head Island.
Well, that's fantastic for me because I haven't seen you in months.
Same with a couple of other friends who, I was over there for something quick the other day, and I text, a mutual friend of ours and said, hey, meet me wherever. I haven't seen you in forever. And she said, oh, just come by my house. So I sat with her for, about 45 minutes and we visited, and I hadn't seen her since February. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But, this month I'll be over there a bunch. I'll be there for the, shrimp festival, the Hilton Head Shrimp Festival, which is, the 21st. You attended that last year, weren't you there?
I was
yeah.
there with you.
Yep. We were there. So I'll be back for that. The Rockin' Ribs Festival is in October. I think it's the 17th through the 20th. I'll be there the weekend.
Yes,
for that.
It is. Yep.
And I've got a few other things lined up, in between. So I'm looking forward to catching up with some people and some eats. Cafe Al Dente is on my short list.
I gotta
they're about to open a grab and go. Have you heard about that?
No,
over in is it Dunnigan's Alley?
Yeah,
over there they're gonna do grab and go. I can't elaborate any more than that, simply because I don't know, you know, what it will be, but I assume you can go in there and, you know, get a lasagna or chicken parm and take it home and heat it up is what I'm guessing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So they're going to be doing that. And then also I've been hearing rave reviews about the restaurant you got to visit last week, and it's the island's brand new Indian restaurant. Yeah.
Yes. You know, what's very timely about their opening is they opened right before my scheduled trip to London. And the number one thing on my list to do in London was, other than the usual, was to eat good Indian food, which we did. We had four different Indian meals in the 1 week that we were in London. That was literally our mission. And it was all fabulous, all wonderful. So I had put off going to Masala Mantra, our new Indian restaurant, because I wanted to kind of ease into it, so to speak, with the Indian and all that. last week, me and a bunch of girlfriends celebrating one of our friends' birthdays, we went there. And now I'm going to say this. They have applied for their liquor license, and they haven't gotten it yet. So they didn't have any alcoholic offerings, and it didn't matter whatsoever. The wait staff, the folks that work there, very hospitable, very accommodating, very, you know, it's my guess that a lot of the clientele is going to not exactly know what all the dishes were, but they really took their time to to help explain what was on the menu. But at any rate, we were all, there were six of us, so we had the ability to order lots of different things and everybody taste and try. And then I, of course, when I'm eating Indian food, I like to go with the lamb options because it's just not the norm. You know, it's just not the norm on any given menu.
Right.
So I feel like I've really had a lesson in lamb here over the last few weeks. But this restaurant we have here was equally as good, if not better, than what I had over in London, which is arguably, other than India, one of the greatest places to eat Indian food.
Yeah, yeah. That is wonderful, and that goes with, like I was saying a minute ago, that is in line with the three or four reviews I've heard, you know, because people can get on Facebook and say, oh, it's the most amazing thing. Okay, fine. But I've come to take all of that stuff with a grain of salt because there's some food that I know to be absolute trash that people love online. So I temper my excitement when I see a lot of people gushing on Facebook. But a few people that whose palates I trust, who wouldn't steer me wrong, have said exactly what you just said. It is solid. It is delicious, and the service was great. And like you said, they are enjoying their BYOB honeymoon right now. What did you eat? What did you eat in particular?
Well, so I ordered the lamb lollipop. Lamb
right.
chops.
Okay.
I think they call it Bombay.
Right.
Bombay lamb. I can't remember now what it's called, but it's basically coated in saffron and chickpea, and then cooked to absolute perfection and served with. It escapes me now. I should have pulled up the menu. They're roasted fingerling potatoes.
Gotcha.
Very good. Very good. All very good. And it was served over like a bed of. I don't know if it was pickled cabbage or if it was, I'm not really quite sure, how they did it, but it was crunchy and it was cooked at the same, it was weird, not weird, but different and
yeah.
Very, very good. Like it was just the lamb was served, over that. And the presentation was very nice as well. You know, it wasn't just slopped on a plate, but we all started off with some appetizers. There was the, paneer, which is, cheese, it's fried cheese, delicious. Oh my gosh. I wasn't going to eat it because it has a coating on it that I wasn't sure if it had gluten in it or not, but I did eat it because it was, couldn't be resisted. It was delicious. And we had the samosas, which is a,
Girl Scout cookie.
They are close, but no cigar. It's a savory pastry, basically stuffed and filled with. I didn't eat it because of the gluten issue, but and not that I'm celiac, you know, I've just been avoiding it for dietary health purposes. But everybody raved over them, and then their chickpeas, like curry chickpeas. Delicious. I mean, there's nothing better to me than chickpeas. I think they're fabulous and they're very filling as well. And then let's see. So my friend Beth had the chicken tikka masala. No, she didn't have tikka masala. She had the butter sauce, chicken and butter sauce, which is very similar to tikka masala.
Yeah.
Just with that. So tikka masala has a little bit, it's tomato sauce based, but has more cream in it. And then the butter sauce is literally butter with tomato sauce and pepper, strips of pepper. Very good. I took her leftovers home and ate it for lunch the next day. So
nice.
Good. And you know, the rice, so the rice comes with everything, right? Because all that yummy sauce has to be soaked up in something.
Yeah.
And it's not jasmine rice like I'm used to cooking at home. That's a little more similar to what you find in Asian cooking. It's basmati rice, and it's more tender. It's
yeah.
skinnier rice.
Yeah.
Doesn't have that bite. Doesn't have a bite to it. It's a lot more tender. What else?
I had that
I can't
rice.
What else was on the table?
Believe it or not, you went to London, and I was as we discussed a couple of weeks ago in Dublin, And
that's right.
We flew British Airways, and both flights from London to New York, to and from, actually going. It was going. Dinner from New York to London featured that rice. And so I know exactly what you're talking about because I just had it the other day on the airplane. I think it was the day after you came back. I was headed that way. But yeah.
We did. We missed each other by like 12 hours.
Yeah. Did you fly in? I'm guessing you flew in and out of Heathrow Airport.
Yes, we did. And oh my gosh, I have a lot to say about London. I had no idea, you know, because I've been over to Europe and Paris, Madrid, and other cities amongst those countries. But London, oh my gosh, very well organized people,
yeah.
Very efficient and clean and orderly and signage. There's no doubt where you're going and what you're doing. Whereas like particularly in Madrid, you can ask my brother, he and I got in knockdown drag out fights in Madrid over which direction to be walking. Because it's just, total lack of directions, and London totally different. I was super impressed. Well, and of course
it helps, I'm sure, that the signs in London are all in English, and in Spain I'm sure they're translated, but it leaves some ambiguity, I would guess.
Well, yes, but as you know, I do speak Spanish, so I could translate the signs. It's just that there's lack of signage. Like literally no signs telling you where to go, and you have to ask people. And then there's a discrepancy amongst Madridians as to directions about things. So in London, things were a lot more clear cut, and we walked and walked and walked. Did you walk a lot in Dublin? I mean, we walked like 10 miles a day. 25,000 steps.
Well, Dublin is a lot smaller than London. You can walk, it's like more like Boston. You can walk from one end to the other, maybe 30 minutes. In center Dublin, obviously. And so, yeah, there was a lot of walking, but I think our longest walk was 20 minutes. And that was literally, we were wrapping up for the night and we were walking back to our hotel. Oh, we could take an Uber or it's a 15-minute walk. Let's just walk. That's kind of how it was.
We didn't take a single cab in London, except the first night we got there, I had booked a play. We went to see The Play That Goes Wrong, which is a British farce. And if any of y'all out there know anything about theater, the Brits have it locked down on farce. So, you know, when in Rome, I thought that would be the best show to see because they really know what they're doing when it comes to farce. And it was hysterical. But we did decide to take a cab home that night. We had been traveling,
of course,
overnight, didn't sleep on the plane. We were fairly exhausted and crabby all day.
Yeah.
And then we kind of cleaned ourselves up and had dinner and went to the show, and we could have easily walked back to the hotel. But it was like, let's just get a cab. And I think that was the only cab we got other than, that was it.
Very good.
We took the train everywhere. My daughter, you know, being the millennial that she is, sliced and diced that whole thing.
Yeah.
She knew exactly where to go, what station to take, and everything was very centrally and conveniently located to where we stayed,
awesome.
Where our hotel was.
That's awesome. So Indian food on the island, check.
Check.
Al dente is on my short list, check. Anything else? Anything else that you're hearing buzz about on the island that I should be penciling in for my visits that you could perhaps join me? Do we know of anything else that's new on the island? Oh, I got to give a quick mention to our friend Dave Peck, who's doing some food over at Jarvis Creek General Store.
That's right. Good mention, because love Dave.
Yeah, he's taken over the food concession there, if you will. And yeah, it's a food truck attached to the back. I've written about it for this month's CH2 magazine. But I found his story a little bit fascinating in so much as, you know, not born on the island, but he's been there most of his life. And, you know, he's done food here. He's done food there. He has Bad Biscuit at Caligny. He does the food for Pool Bar Gyms. And then he decided he got a call from the guys at Jarvis Creek, hey, we need some help with our food. You want to come and take a look here? And he's like, well, why don't I just do it? So he's doing some interesting things there. I need to go visit that spot. So
good. Well, I definitely want to go with you because I haven't checked that out since he took that over. And, you know, Dave was my down the street neighbor when we were kids. So, he's really done great things with his life, and I'm super proud to know him, and he's just a great ambassador for the island.
It's funny because I asked him, I go, man, that location for Jarvis Creek General Store is 278. What's the cross street there? You know it.
Spanish Wells?
I think so, yeah. And I asked him, I go, man, most of the venue there is outdoors. They've got big screens for TVs and Adirondack chairs and all that. I go, doesn't the noise affect? He goes, seriously? He said, I'm being very honest with you. Once you get out of the car, yeah, okay, you can hear the traffic and the noise, but once you get immersed in the atmosphere there, you kind of forget that the traffic is going by. I go, okay, that's fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, that's a funny thing because so many people talk about traffic noise, and I kind of like it here because we're out here in nature.
Right.
It's just a nice reminder that there's mankind nearby. I don't know. It's never bothered me. I enjoy, I mean, as long as it's not obnoxious, like, you know, bumper to bumper traffic and everybody honking and being jerks, but, you know, just the gentle hum of cars passing by is to me kind of soothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I hear you. Maybe you are.
But now the other thing of mention, and this isn't an opening but a closing. Did you see where Enchiladas?
Yeah.
Our Enchiladas right there on Pope Avenue, which that building was originally a steakhouse. It was like one of those like Golden Corral or something like that. And of course, I grew up in Shipyard, so my dad, when he would want to go out to eat, that's where we would go for a steak and a baked potato. But at any rate, 36 years of being open for business, and they closed their doors. They had their last hurrah was this Saturday night, I think.
No, it was yesterday, the first.
It was what, on Friday?
No, yesterday, Sunday, the first.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday. Okay. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a chapter. Another one of those
and
early, you know, American Hilton Head chapters closing.
100%. And you know what? That is a perfect example of why a few minutes ago I said, you know, people write a lot of great things on Facebook about places that I do not like. And I suppose I could say this now that they've closed. I was never a fan of the food there. I just didn't like it. And you never heard me say a negative syllable about it. But out of respect to the so many people on the island that loved it, who am I to come and trash something you like? So that's a perfect example. I've certainly had worse, but I just wasn't a fan. And so I went there once or twice and never again. But do you
it
know?
It wasn't really, that place was never really in my rotation for whatever reason. Maybe because as an islander, I just have in general stayed away from Coligny, which now, of course, we all know.
Yeah.
That's gone by the wayside because I'm on the board of a theater in the heart of Coligny. So that has changed. But I'll be interested to see what happens. I'm sure there's folks out there that know. But what's happening with that building? Is somebody taking over? Is it going to be torn down and something rebuilt? I haven't heard any mutterings. That'll be my job this week, is to figure out what's happening there.
Very good. And I think that might be a good jumping off point. I will mention that next week we will perhaps discuss a little more in depth on the moves that the Surge Group announced they're making, with One Hot Mamas moving to the Nectar spot and Nectar moving to a smaller location. Did you catch that announcement?
Interesting. Yeah. Can't wait. Let's discuss that next time.
Yes, we will do that, because hopefully by then we'll know where Nectar might go and what the plans are and all that stuff. But yeah, we'll get into that next week. We have some Indian food to look forward to. We have some island southern bites that Dave's doing at Jarvis Creek to look forward to, and many, many other things. Well, you enjoy your week.
You too. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yes.
Let me know. Give me a holler when you're going to be over here.
I'll be around plenty. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.